scripture scholars must. This is, at best, a perplexing, and at worst, an embarrassing Jesus who stands before us in today's gospel. In his human dimension, he seems to take on and justify one of our worst characteristics. He practices the policy of exclusion. Exclusion of what proves to be a truly beautiful person in need. And he justifies this act of exclusion on religious grounds. His language is even insulting. He refers to her as if a dog. And he knew, of course, that there were scripture passages aplenty which could be used to justify this position. That some people are called, some people are especially loved by God, while others simply don't measure up, don't qualify for full membership. But look now, if Jesus embarrasses us with his practice of exclusion, the Canaanite woman astounds us and humbles us. She wades right through all this rejection and exclusion to demand her rightful place in the priceless gift of the bread of life. She will not be turned away, not even by pious reasoning that tells her that her second-class status is somehow God's will. Perhaps at the very depth of her being, where God's creative signature is indelibly written, she simply knows. Knows with a knowledge that mere reason can never explain, that God was calling her to full human dignity, to full sharing in the family of God's people. Be assured, as I hinted, scripture scholars to this day are made uneasy by this remarkable gospel, this particular story of Jesus. Like us, they want to know, can this be the real Jesus, the same Lord of love, who at last gave up his last drop of blood? And as he made it possible for this sacrifice to be handed down through the ages, said, for all, for you and for all. Is this the same Jesus who not only justifies excluding the Canaanite woman, but insults her on religious grounds? Yes, it is. And the church will go on through the ages still struggling, still laboring over this unbelievable dimension of God made real in the person of Jesus, who is himself Lord. He was so much at one with us in our humanity that he was even willing to demonstrate our inability without going through a process of growing and learning and being humbled before we come to the staggering and all but unacceptable message of God that everybody is beautiful. Every single one is precious beyond all price in the eyes of the Creator God. Was not God could I say, especially good to us in handing on this particular scripture passage so that we could see Jesus, Lord, being so much like us, able to quote the scriptures and say the message was, some will be better than others, some will be the chosen, not all. And then have a human experience and a frail, fragile, but determined human being called Jesus himself to a fuller experience of the truth. What a gift. But what a heavy gift. What a costly gift to accept. Know this, that when Isaiah speaks in the first reading of today's liturgy and says, as he should, we know this now with hindsight, knowing the full message of the scripture, he says, as he should, that all are called to share, not the Hebrew people, the children of Israel alone, but all people are called to share fully in the gifts of God. Know that Isaiah said this in a context where other prophets had encouraged the Jewish people to blame all their faults and failings on outsiders. In particular, though this is from ancient texts, the theme is so current and familiar. In particular, the prophets encouraged the Jews to blame them foreign women who had married into the chosen people and contaminated them. It was in that very human historical context that Isaiah, feeling some of that, in his own way believing that, was being egged and pushed and poked by the Spirit to say, probably even before he could fully believe in himself, no, all people are God's people. There are no better people. There is no superior race. There is no one exclusive group that has a prior claim on God's love or on human dignity. How much more forcefully can we ask God to make this point than to let us see Jesus himself struggling with it, having to somehow or other grow up to this staggering insight? And in the same scripture readings to this day, Paul speaks to the Romans and he asks them to understand this baffling, confusing fact that, yes, you got included, you Gentiles, in part because the Jews couldn't take full hold of the message. In other words, it was their excluding and therefore being rejected that led to your being accepted and included. But look out, my Gentile sisters and brothers. God's not finished. Your being accepted in all your sinfulness is going to be the key to the Hebrews, to the Jews, being included after all. And Paul says, and this phenomenon, this marvelous phenomenon, is so fantastic, it is nothing less than like new life after death. If it's hard for you to admit in yourself that you have practiced a policy of exclusion, and if in some sacred moment of insight by a grace that God gives you, you recognize that you have even justified that on solemn historic and cultural grounds, and worse than that, found a religious foundation and basis for it, well, don't despair. You're in very good company. Jesus did it. But if, in the grace of this day's liturgy, you have the uncomfortable feeling that you are being called to acknowledge that weakness in you, that less than proud dimension of your human attitudes and dispositions and behavior, be not too defeated. Do not despair. Jesus was called to the same growing and reaching outward, until at last he was able to extend his saving arms on the cross in an embrace that excluded no one, and invited and tried to gather in all people to the tender heart of the Creator God. You do not have to be terribly imaginative or more up on the news than others to see how Father Kelly and I want to believe by God's grace, felt that somehow or other this message, like a pregnant seed buried in this day's scripture passages, needed to be especially nurtured and brought to blossom in this community at this time. For if you are black, surely these days you've got to be discouraged. Surely your heart, often heavy, must be heavier than ever now. The first black archbishop in the history of the church in the United States, shamed and embarrassed, and apparently now a broken man. Our incredibly gifted brother, Father George Stallings, who stirred us with the power of his word and personality just a year ago in this very church, now alienated from the larger communion of the church, to a point where you just hope you don't hear another word about it. A black man, mayor of the city of the nation's capital, a point of controversy and confusion and struggle and strife, perhaps, whether intentionally or not, a cause of division. Surely if you're black, these days you've got to be down in some sense. In some sense. But if you're black, you know, as the Canaanite woman did in her heart of hearts, you are loved of God. You are as good as anyone, as clearly called and as fully chosen as anyone else. So even if the church, which stands as it will in the name of Jesus, seems to be rejecting or burdening you further, there is reason in these same scriptures to renew your experienced belief in the beauty and wonder of God that is in you and in all those beautiful people from whom you have come. If you're white, then surely these days, if there's any element of racism in you, if in fact you are, how shall we say, a little bit prejudiced, maybe all your past sins of racism and prejudice and exclusion and bias seem somehow or other more justified in the light of tragic current events. But hear the word of the Lord this day, who sweeps aside and puts to rest, if we let him, all the excuses, all the rationalizations, all the justifications for failing to look upon, to greet, and to welcome every person of every tribe and every nation as son or daughter of God. This very morning's paper, probably in more than one article, teases and challenges us to notice how in the past it was part of our culture to designate Arabs, we often said Arabs, as somehow or other a foreign race from some other mysterious origin. And oh, how comfortably that will suit us in the tragic and painful days ahead, in what appears to be inevitable and bloody conflict, if we can rationalize that Arabs dying is somehow less tragic than folks like us meeting their end. The examples, the illustrations, the possibilities are multiple. They're all around us. And like Jesus in his own historic moment, if we look for them, we may seem to find more than enough reasons to rationalize, to somehow bless our attitudes, our dispositions of exclusion of one superior to another inferior by God's will, if you will. But the God who speaks in this day's liturgy, you might say in human language, reaches even beyond himself. Lets Jesus appear as frail as the rest of us who share the same flesh, needing to grow to a deeper understanding of the beauty, the goodness, the sacred giftedness of all God's people. Do you know, I feel so strongly what I'm saying, or at least trying to say. What we have tried to say in this Sunday's bulletin, that if somehow or other I was given a choice, what would you have people do? Absolutely, certainly read that bulletin and reflect on its content and this homily, or in the alternative, be sure they'll come back to church next Sunday. I would say stay home next Sunday if it must be, but absorb, accept confrontation with the message that is here before us. For as tragic events begin to unfold yet more in our society, surely it is right to say the moment is now, and tomorrow could be too late. Be not deceived. Gifted though I am in articulating, pompous though I may be in preaching freedom from prejudice, I am a racist myself in my own way. It was inevitable. I do believe there's no such thing as a person who grows up in a human context of a particular race or tribe or culture who is totally free of prejudice, of superior, however subtle, attitudes towards others who are in some way excludable. I confess before you that I have sinned the sins which I invite you with me to repent and to repair and to make a new beginning. One of our greatest obstacles now to being healed and lifted by the Word of God would be our refusal, in our own peculiar way, to admit our need for it. If all people really believed that all other people were flesh and blood, spirit and soul, members of their own family, this would be a dramatically, radically different world. But it is to such a vision and to such a belief that we are being called. Be consoled by the Jesus who was willing to be confronted by the Canaanite woman. Be consoled by the realization that he knew he was twice justified in doing so. After all, she was a Canaanite. And worse than that, she was a woman. But Jesus was called to bring the giftedness, the blessing, the honor of God to this selfsame woman. You and I are being called in unique and immediate contemporary historical ways to follow that example and to rise to that challenge. Jesus assures us, however painful, however monumental the task, it can be done with his help. And so, in the spirit of the scripture, both old and new, the church says to you, acknowledge your sins and walk humbly, hand in hand with your fellow sinners before the Lord.